Sometimes doing what's right is just plain old hard work. Upholding your biblical convictions takes dogged determination and grit. And when the pressure's on, it's tempting to toss in the towel and quit, just walk away. Well, today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll introduces a message on the virtue of perseverance. Whether it's maintaining your values in a hostile environment, or remaining loyal and committed to your marriage, all of us face the temptation to resign. But Scripture is clear, relinquishing our values is never a good option. Chuck titled today's message, Never Quitting.
Please turn in your Bibles to the second letter Paul wrote to Timothy. I'll be reading the first part of chapter 3 and then the first part of chapter 4. These are the final words Paul ever wrote. And it's easy to forget that he wrote them in a dungeon. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verses 1 to 5, and then chapter 4. We'll read verses 1 to 5. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 in the New Living Translation begins, "You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that." Chapter 4. "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he appears to set up his kingdom, preach the word of God. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you."
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called Never Quitting.
Mine was an enviable childhood. I had the great pleasure of being reared by and surrounded by those of the greatest generation. Therefore, I heard things then that I no longer hear, and I witnessed things then that I no longer see. I will live my life grateful for my heritage. One of the things I remember hearing again and again was, "Quitters never win, winners never quit." In those days, we fought wars to win them. We didn't quit till we won them. The toll was great. The horrors of war were as terrible then as they are now, but we didn't quit. Solving the issue of a war was not a political negotiation handled in a room without windows by people who have high-sounding names, many of whom have never been on the battlefield. Wars were fought, wars were lost, wars were won, but we didn't quit. I remember when we played games, I was taught, win. Don't just play because it's fun. Play to win. And don't tie. My dad used to say, tying is like kissing your sister. Life was considered a challenge, not something to dread. But you rolled up your sleeves and you took it on. If it was hard, you didn't whine or throw a pity party. You pressed on. You were determined. How powerful was determination. When you faced obstacles, you pressed through them. You didn't look for somebody else to blame or complain about how high they are or how difficult they are. You pressed on. You didn't quit. When you reached an impasse, you stayed at it. And when it came time to stand for what was right, I was taught, you take the word surrender out of your vocabulary and you don't give in. If you're the only one in the room, son, stand for what is right. Speak the truth. State your convictions. Take it on the chin. It was on May 13, 1940, that the man who had been appointed Prime Minister of Great Britain spoke his first words to the House of Commons. His country was facing the almost impossible task of overcoming the Nazi war machine, and they were now being bombed regularly. He stood before the House and he made this statement, "I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat." That's what I was raised with. A year and a half later, when he had the chance to speak at his alma mater, Harrow School, he condensed his speech to one of the shortest speeches ever given at a commencement address. He stood up and said, "Never give in. Never give in. Never, 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 never. In nothing great or small, large or petty, never give in." Then he sat down. I would love to be in a commencement speech that is that short. Now, all of this may sound very dated to some of you. I don't care. I feel sorry if you see this as dated. I feel sorry for you. You do not realize what you were missing by not applying determination to the tough times of life, because I have this word for all of you: it will only get worse. You will only become more ill. The enemy will become only more aggressive. The drift of our nation will only intensify as time passes. Without determination, you will be swept into the camp of those who erode. Determination, the enormous power of determination. Regardless of your surrounding culture, listen to this. Your determination to stay at it is essential. Everything around us will urge us to back off, not make waves. Fall in line. Don't buck the system. I was raised to believe if the system is corrupt and compromising, it needs to be bucked. Regardless of your personal situation, you may be getting up in years. Believe me, I understand that. You may be starting to feel tired. You may feel outnumbered and in the minority. Quite honestly, you may not be feeling very well. You may be sick. You may be living with pain or some tragic disability, and it will only get worse as time passes. May I tell you, on the front end of all of this, it will only get worse if you decide to quit. Those who give up die. Healing often rests on determination, confidence that God is at work even in the scars and the hardships. Those who are determined to stand fast, well, they fall in rank with the people of history, the people we admire, who refuse to quit against all odds. My Bible is open to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, where we read some words that are found nowhere else in all the Bible, not even in the historical record of the book of Acts. Most of these things that Paul names that were a part of his horrendous and painful background of hardship are not even mentioned in the book of Acts. Because you see, in yesteryear, people did not put their pain in neon lights. As a matter of fact, you rarely knew when it was painful for them. But on occasion, they would share it, and you find your mouth dropping open in amazement, such as what we're looking at in verses 23 through 28. Just read along with me. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, verse 23. Are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I've served him, that is Christ, far more. Now listen closely. I've worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. Listen to this list. It is a litany of suffering. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I've traveled on many long journeys. I've faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I've faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I've faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. And I've faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I've worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I've been hungry and thirsty and have often gone without food. I've shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep warm. Then, besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. That's the man we admire. That's the man we extol. That's a man who finished strong. At about the middle of his years on earth, about 65, 64, 66 years of age, the tide turned against him, and he wound up in the Mamertine prison. If you ever go to Rome, don't miss that dungeon. Many of the guides will not know to take you there. Mention it. Take the stairs that lead down to the black area, black with age, the stones that Paul must have looked at. The cold, hard stone floor where he slept. The only way to get to it was from above. And every day as he heard the Roman boots, he could wonder, are they coming for me? One day they did. Within a matter of hours, they severed his head from his shoulders, and it rolled down into the dust. That's the Apostle Paul. He knows his time is short. And he realizes that in order for the truth to go on to a next generation and a next one and the next one, there must be a relay. There must be the handing off of the baton, which is why he wrote the letter. So that periodically through the letter, he says to the recipient, but Timothy, listen, but you're not like that. But wait, Timothy, do this, remember that. You must go on. I will soon be gone. and it will be your responsibility. Now, what we come to in the third and fourth chapter are some of the raw sections of Scripture where the apostle, led by the Spirit of God, tells it like it is. He describes this as the last days. I would describe this as our days. We are living in these days, as you will see when we work our way through these verses. 2 Timothy 3. You should know this, Timothy. You see, when you're older, you say things like that. I say them to my grandchildren. You should know this, Noah. You should know this, Jessica. You should know this, Austin. These are words passed on from one who is aging to one who has many, many years in front of him. Timothy, you should know this. Know what? In the last days, there will be very difficult times. The key word, before we go any further, is the word difficult. Difficult. Seems rather innocuous laying here on the page like black print on a white sheet of paper. What's the big deal about difficult? Well, if you knew the meaning, you'd realize it. It would put a chill up your back. The Greek term means a number of things: hard, harsh, hard to deal with. Sometimes used for the word violent, dangerous, menacing. One of my mentors used to translate it savage. Savage times have come. Terrorists are savages. They have no conscience. They do not care your age, your sex, your commitment. They are pressing into their agenda because we are living in savage times. The same term is used in classical Greek of wild animals and a raging stormy sea. The only other time the Greek term translated difficult appears in all the New Testament is in Matthew 8, verse 28. You can check it for yourself. It's the story of two men who were demonized. Demons fill them. They live among the tombs. And their surrounding is so violent, no one could go through the area, says Matthew 8, 28. That's the word here. Know this, Timothy. That will be the way things will become. Make no mistakes. It is perilous. It is menacing. Now, why? Why is it so difficult? Is it pollution? It isn't pollution. Is it geography? No, it isn't geography. Is it the economy? It isn't the economy. Look at the next word, for people. That's why it's difficult. Anthropos. We get our word anthropology from it. It means mankind. It could mean a man. It could mean a woman. It could mean a teenager. It could mean a preteen. We've seen all of them act out in violence. We've seen the violence in our day to the point where we wonder when we turn on the news in the morning or the evening, what are we going to hear now? Who will have shot whom? It's to the point where we're hardly shocked. Why is it true? Because people, and now we will see depravity on parade. You will see 19 characteristics mentioned in verses 2 through 4. 19. And when you read through them, you will think you're reading today's periodicals, today's news broadcast. You will think you're hearing the evening news. For people will, and then he describes one thing after another. It's like what Paul wrote in Romans 1, 21 to 32, and later in Romans 3, 10 through 18. People will love only themselves and their money. Sound familiar? They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. I'm reading it far too quickly, but time is passing. They'll consider nothing sacred. Sacred? What's sacred to you is not sacred. There's nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others. They'll have no self-control. The list goes on. They'll be cruel and they'll hate what is good. They'll betray their friends. They'll be reckless, puffed up with pride, love pleasure rather than love God. That's why, Timothy, that's why you need to stand firm. That's why you can't quit. Because those who quit are caught up in the movement of the majority. It is doubtful the majority has ever been right. And we live in a politically correct time where the majority of people desire that we be politically correct. I have a great Greek word for that. Hogwash. Nonsense. What is in the scriptures is what is right, not what is handed down to us from a government or from people who take a role of authority and run with it. We are a people who are to think biblically, theologically, which means, if I understand the scriptures correctly, we don't quit doing what is right. We don't shrug our shoulders and sigh and then look the other way saying, well, it's just the signs of our time. You know what? I never heard that when I was a boy. Never once heard that statement. Well, you know, that's just the way people are. What I heard was, son, you know what to do that's right. You do it. And you keep doing it. If everyone around you votes against it, you vote for it. Stand alone. Don't quit. He often used words like backbone and other words that I won't describe from the pulpit. Okay? Now we come to a passionate reminder. Verse 10. Look at verse 10. But you, Timothy, the Greek is very simple. Sude, Timotheus. Sude. But you. It's a singular you. So Paul has his long index finger punched against Timothy's sternum. You're different. You're taking this baton from me, Timothy. Don't drop it. Don't run off to the side and give up in the race. You run this race, Timothy. But you know what I teach and how I live and what my purpose in life is. You know my faith, my patience, my love, and my endurance. You know how much persecution and suffering I've endured. He's not bragging. He's telling him, these are the truths. These are the facts of my life, Timothy. You're aware of that. You know all about how I was persecuted in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, one of those places he stoned, left to die. But he said, the Lord rescued me from all of that. Yes, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Timothy, difficult times are coming. Savage times. Our word today would be man up. Step up, Timothy. And my word to you as a Christian living in this 21st century is step up. Stop looking for a reason to set aside life or to find a way to get away from the pressure. I like the way John R.W. Stott writes of this. Every Christian is called to be different from the world. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, wrote J.B. Phillips. Certainly, the pressures upon us to conform are colossal, not only from the direct challenge to traditional beliefs and morals, but also, and more, from the insidious, pervasive atmosphere of secularism which even seeps into the church. Many give in, writes Stott. Many give in, often without realizing what they're doing. But again and again, the Word of God addresses us, calling us not to be moved. We are not to be like a reed shaken with the wind, feebly bowing down before it, but rather like a rock in a mountain torrent. We are to stand firm. We are to stand firm.
Listening to the Bible teaching of Chuck Swindoll, and this is Insight for Living. Our topic today, never quitting. If you'd like to learn more about this ministry or Chuck Swindoll, visit us online at insightworld.org. The Apostle Paul made it perfectly clear to his spiritual son, Timothy, compromising the truth is never an option. and at times when tolerance is celebrated as a virtue. This is our commitment to you. Insight for Living will always uphold, revere, and proclaim the truth of God's Word. We know our listeners around the world have come to rely on this unbending standard, and we remain wholly committed to that end. When you give and invest in this ministry, you can be sure Chuck will remain true to this mandate to preach and teach the whole counsel of God's Word without compromise. We are especially grateful for partners who stand with us. We call them monthly companions. A monthly companion is someone who agrees to pray for Insight for Living and who gives a donation every month. You can automate this process, which makes the engagement quite simple, or you can choose to send your donation each month. To join this influential team of supporters, give us a phone call. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/monthly companion. Or to give a one-time donation, call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. In the next few days, you'll hear Chuck teach more from today's passage about the power of persistence. As a complement to this broadcast study, let me suggest that you request a book he's written on a similar theme. It's called Finding God When the World's on Fire. In this highly practical book, Chuck helps you understand how to respond when you're under pressure and you're tempted to give up. Again, it's called Finding God When the World's on Fire. And you'll find all the details for purchasing a copy at insight.org/offer. I'm Dave Spiker. Tomorrow, Chuck Swindoll continues his message about never quitting, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Never Quitting, was copyrighted in 2013, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2017 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.